Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I am Dan.
I am Sean.
I am wearing headphones. This is episode 235 of this here podcast. And you know what? We are in it. We are in lots of music that is great. Summer 2022. And we're going to start with some singles. We have a smattering of singles from Joey Badass, Midnight Trust, and the 1975. We have albums from Burna Boy, Brent Faiyaz, and Viagra Boys. Very boyish up in here. Maybe poorly timed considering the state of America right now. And in the members portion with news, we have some updates on R. Kelly. We have a really disturbing phenomenon happening at music festivals right now because we continue to cover as the feral human beings can return to music festivals and how on both the festivals aren't being run well and the festival goers are not being all that great. Other things in the news portion, we have the white little baby. Corday maybe creating a new Audio Face award for himself, because you rarely have artists do what Corday just did. I think it's gonna be really interesting.
I know, I'm actually pretty shocked.
And the creation of another award that's really a long time coming. The Play It for the Jury Award. This one's really great. This one's like a...
And also known as the Hidden with the Hennessy Award, too.
When you have to create an award off of something on Audio Face, you know it's going to be very good. So make sure you check out the members portion. Make sure you're following us on social media at Audio Face Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you check out Dead Music Productions at deadmusic666, also on Instagram, mastering this episode, making it sound nice. If you're a podcast producer or a musician who is mixing an album and wants it to sound nice, check them out. And check out our 2022 AF playlist. Link is in the description, wherever you're listening. All right, let's go to the singles. Part of the Band by the 1975. It's a song. No, the 1975 have done a couple little collaborations here or there, especially Matty Healy, but especially since their last album, Notes in a Conditional Form, they've been fairly quiet, in my opinion, thankfully. Not because I think they're bad, because I think they are in one of those great band situations we've talked about on this storied podcast, where you just need to take a break. You're throwing a lot of things out there. You need to take a breath, focus, and then come back with a really good, strong hit at a record, because the 1975 are really good. They have a lot of raw talent. It's just waiting for it to be refined. And you really cannot judge a 1975 album, or any album, but especially not a 1975 album, off of one single. But this is a really damn good single. My coffee full of soy milk and so sweet it won't offend anybody while staying in the pages of the nation. Xanax and a new porn. Well, I take care of my kids, she said.
Yeah, it's a nice little pivot from them, because, you know, going from A Brief Inquiry in 2018 and Notes in a Conditional Form in 2020, you know, they've slowly been developing their sound over and over, you know, like they've really started to define what they sound like, you know. As we always say, oh, this sounds Radiohead-y, this sounds, you know, Gorilla Z, so on and so forth. We have this sounds like the 1975, you know, like this is a particular sound that they like and enjoy. But even with this single, Part of the Band, it's very different. It's more like this, lots of strain arrangement. Like, it's stripped back compared to a lot of electronics and stuff that they used in Notes in a Conditional Form. So I'm glad that they are, like, not just continuing on within that and just stripped it back, starting to explore more of what they can do with as just themselves as musicians and what they can do with playing-wise. And, yeah, it grew on me. The first listen, I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that, but it was kind of cool. And, yeah, they have an album that'll come out in October. They already put the track list, and it's not a double album, Dan, so we don't have to yell at Maddie this time, so at least there's that.
Oh, that's beautiful. We do enjoy that. I think it's going to have another, you know, moderately long name for the 1975, being funny in a foreign language, right?
There you go. The new album by the 1975.
I think the 1975 are going to crown that old running joke from our friendship slash early episodes of Audio Face. Yeah,
they are. Because random stuff and say the new album by Radiohead, it's now the new album by the 1975.
We can live with that. Next is Hard to Let Go by Men I Trust, an indie group, outfit that really caught our attention last year with some really good tracks that we liked. Now we have this, which is kind of that synth groove funk side of indie, of like older indie that I really like. It's been touched on a little bit more lately, but I think this touches back on like artists like Homeshake, I think, that really hold it down for this type of indie that I used to enjoy at least a period of long ago. I'm not sure what to make of this, whether this is a runoff or part of like a larger project, but I like Men I Trust. I think they're really solid.
I liked it. I thought it had a lot of like jazz inspirations and stuff too within the track. So as we said earlier, it's hard to judge a track just based off of record, and same goes in 1975. I actually like it from
a record based off of track.
Yeah, sorry.
I do the same thing. Trust me, I edit it. I'm like, God damn, I really just like mix up my words all the time. Yeah. Anyways, here's what you were saying.
I like it. It's with the, I like the sound of indie. I like to hear more and more people try to explore with it and everything too. So I'm very interested to see if what project they're with these, because I believe they had a album out last year. So it'll be cool if they have one out this year. If not, then it's fine. Take your time, as so on. But I do like the single. I think it's good. Step in the right direction for them.
Agreed. And lastly, we have Survivor's Guilt by Joey Badass. Joey Badass is supposed to be releasing an album sometime soon. I am not going to do my like jinxing thing with saying when it's going to happen, because it's supposed to be sometime later this month in July. It was supposed to come out last month, but there were some sample clearing issues. So apparently it's been taking a minute. But we have a song here called Survivor's Guilt. And the album's going to be called 2000. And the song is, I guess 2022 is the year of rappers opening up about their mental health. Yeah, I ain't know too much about them, so it's up to me. This is legacy with the world. It kills me to think you'll never meet my baby girl. And when I lost June, that hurt me in the worst way. He even died 2 days before his birthday. Damn. It brings tears in my eyes. My nigga really never made it up to 25. That's why I'm thinking God every time I open my eyes at the fact that we alive and we feeling these. The song is about their Joey Badass's friend who was he worked with, kind of came up with, and I think his name was Steezy. And it really kind of goes into his emotions about wishing he was more there for him before this artist, I have to be really careful with algorithms now, I guess deleted himself when he was on.
He went home and rethink his life.
Yeah, he went home and rethought his life a little bit too hard. And unfortunately, like Joey Badass is like, this is the first time I've really felt like I could talk about this because I've been able to put it into something that is, I've been able to put it into a song. I've been able to process these feelings and work it out. I don't know. Again, it's hard to tell an entire album off of one thing, and this seems to be airing out some personal drama with Steez's family that you can kind of go into. Apparently, there were some issues between a fundraiser event that was being held in honor of Steez and Steez's family, who felt like he wasn't being honored in the right way. So there's some back and forth there. But, you know, I'm happy that he's sort of expressing his feelings in this way. I'm interested. The flow is totally fine. I'm interested to see what Joey Bass is coming out with later on.
Yeah, I like it. The only thing was, it's kind of long for a single, but if you're having sample clearing issues and stuff, I can understand why you have to like put this track out for now. But I thought it was pretty decent. So I'm interested to hear what the whole project sounds like.
Absolutely. So with that, before we head into our albums, make sure you check out the new PowerPort episode with Bam and I talking about the January 6th hearings, make sure you get your Syndicate 23 membership right now, syndicate23.co, syndicate23.co. We have a bunch of members content that we are pumping out here and doing for you. And we're actually going to do a little bit of tease of the stuff we do in members content now. Just a little bit of fun for y'all. And so make sure you hit up syndicate23.co to do all that stuff. Join.syndicate23.co is an even faster link. And AudioFace is now taking advertising. Info@syndicate23.co if you want to get joining on that. Like we said, we have the Untitled 2022 AF playlist link in the description. And you make sure you're subscribed to us on any podcast app you're listening to, because or YouTube, youtube.com/audiofacepod, because this is going to be a hell of a year in music. This is going to be a hell of a year in dumbass funny awards. And so,
oh yeah,
yeah, we're gonna have a fun time. Anyways, we begin with the news, and this one is going to be a little bit of a doozeroony, because we have a case of, sorry, getting things ready here. Flo Rida appeared on Fox and Friends, kind of Fox News's early morning, you know, theoretically more upbeat but still incredibly propagandistic show. Well, yeah, Flo Rida played a concert because Fox News does this like summer concerts in America thing. And what's more America than pointing attention at Florida, which is quickly becoming one of the most right-wing states in the country. And there were a lot of Fox News references in here and a lot of really interesting things that happened. And because of some of the interesting things that happened in this video, we're going to be dedicating the arbitrary scale on AudioFace to this video. The arbitrary scale is, of course, something we do every single episode of AudioFace for every single review of an album on AudioFace, because our review is our review. What we say in those often in-depth reviews, almost always in-depth reviews, never not in-depth reviews unless an album that totally sucks. All that what we say stands, and so to give it a numerical rating system or a numerical scale or a letter scale or something like that, while some people we respect do it, and many people we disrespect do it as well, we opt to not do it. So to make it more confusing, to make sure you get the vibe of the album we're talking about, we just give you an arbitrary scale. Anyways, we're going to play the clip from Fox News Channel of some highlights of that Flo Rida thing. So, in the words of Sean, Bravo TV, watch what happens.
Let's do it.
Flo Rida in the middle of our crowd performing Low live on Fox Square.
It's my song!
Apple bottom jeans.
Let me sing it. Low, 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 low.
I got too low with Flo Rida and split my pants.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I love that.
Oh my god. This is pure horror on his face when he rips it.
He was definitely a little bit sauced up for that one.
Oh,
I can safely say.
They're all sauced up. They're all on it.
I mean, good for them. I mean, like, it's essentially the equivalent of the Today Show for them. So it's supposed to be, like, really fun, really easy, really simple. So, you know, I guess good for them for having fun. Flo Rida, what are you doing? You are, there's a word for that we have in the black community. And it just not, doesn't make you look good. Anyways, let's start with albums for this week.
Yeah.
And our first album of this week is Burna Boy's Love Damini. It is 19 songs an hour long, straight hour. And Burna Boy is probably, when you put Afrobeats and pop together in a Venn diagram, what you get in the direct middle is Burna Boy.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Has really kind of made a name for himself for the past couple of years. Really since albums going back to 2013 even. And so this is another attempt at that. I think top line, I appreciate that you're getting Afrobeats, Latin American things. It's becoming more of an American audience. As Americans are enjoying that more.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate that this is a very long album with a lot of filler, where I think the features work really well, and there are some times where I think Burna Boy, many of the features work well, and Burna Boy, As a standalone artist can also perform very well, but there are also times where the entire thing feels very bloated and there's a lot of this album I could go without. The album also has, like, with the interludes, kind of a little bit of a dark turn that comes with it, so that's very interesting. Okay, Weekend, with your sort of, like, weird story arcs about your lover and ability to love, so cool, that's there. But what did you think about this?
Yeah, it's all right. I didn't mind it too much, except for one feature, but we'll get more on that later. It definitely, you know, reggaeton, Afrobeats, Latin American music, a lot of that is really starting to become popular in America now. And I mean, if you go to like a Bad Bunny concert, like that shit just sold out like completely and everything. So, but anyways, with that, like with the record this damn long, 19 songs, it's just, you get towards like the middle of the record and you go, okay, it's enough Afrobeats for me. Like it's good. It's decent, but it's just very limiting in the way that he made it with the whole record. Like the beginning of it is all right. I kind of like how it transitions and gets a little bit darker towards the end, as you alluded to. I do like that pivot, but it took such a long time to get to that pivot where I'm like, all right, like there's so much in the middle of the record that you could go without. That would make it be more streamlined. It would make it sound a lot better and keep you engaged with it. Some of the features are fine. The Kalani ones are actually pretty good. And then the one with Khaled I thought was good as well. Khaled, I'm starting to really enjoy as a feature more and more. At first, I thought he would bring down some features here or there, but I thought he did well on that. And then even the one with J Balvin, I thought was pretty good too. Roller Coaster towards the end of the album, but the one right before that with Ed Sheeran. Whenever I'm broken, you make me feel whole. Whenever I'm lonely, you're there for my soul. Wherever you are, girl, that's where I call my own. Whenever you doubt it, I'll be letting you know. It just sounds like a ripoff of just a normal Ed Sheeran pop shitty song that you would get about 6-7 years ago. And Ed Sheeran needs to just stop making music. Whatever he does, just stop. It's so bland, so over generic. Like, I've heard that thing 1,000 times before. We don't need any more of it. It's just bland. And that was one part of the album that I really didn't like, because I thought the one with Kalani, I was like, oh, solid with Kalani. I was like, that one's cool. And then you got For My Hand. I'm like, this is dog shit. And then you get to Roller Coaster with J Balvin, and I thought that one was all right. No siempre puedo estar feliz. So it's just, that's the song you just don't need there at all.
That was my point when you got that Ed Sheeran song, and I definitely felt that album been getting too long. I looked at that part of the album and I was like, what? Where am I? Ed Sheeran's here? Oh, wow. There's how many more songs? And it sucks because there are some great songs after that Ed Sheeran song. I think the J Balvin, like you said, the Khaled track.
This really is a bottom heavy record.
Yeah. Which is joke withheld. You don't really get a lot of bottom heavy records in... Mm-hmm. So to speak, a lot of times it's top heavy because that's how you get people in. And then it's like, okay, let me just fulfill the album requirements and get some filler in here. An hour is definitely a very, very hard sell in 2022. That's basically a deluxe album territory. So you better be good with what you're coming with. And this just feels a little bit bloated to me. I do like some of the songs in the beginning. I think Kilometer is good.
think I be Johnny just come. Like I just got rich, like my money just come. Send them back to where they come from. For talking like the product of a torn condom. Southside me come from, me not care, my brother. One side, sit down for one chair, my brother. Come try, me will make you disappear, my brother. Long time it takes to reach here, my brother. I just kill me, 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 kill me.
I think Whiskey has a good vibe. Last especially are some of the really good, kind of the best of what Burna Boy is at this level of making music as he is, because he's kind of grown into kind of being a more generic Afrobeats person into incorporating a couple more sounds that internationally into his production. So I appreciate that. That works really well. Even some of the filler songs here, like I said, Whiskey, are okay. But there's a lot of songs that hit at maybe, at the risk of accidentally doing a real scale, like a 7 out of 10, but there are no songs that jump out of like 8 or 9 out of 10 territory. And there are a lot of songs that go down to like 4 out of 10 territory. Not a lot of songs, but like more than there should be. Songs that are either just like meh or like really just like hard to listen to and too poppy and bland like Ed Sheeran. You don't need an album like this where you have someone to bland it out or to make something generic or let's throw something out there because it's exploring too much. We want to make something a little bit more approachable. This is not the kind of album for that. It's a lot of crowd pleasers. Don't worry. That's not your problem here, man.
Yep, 100% agreed. You get to one level, you stick to it, and it's just, you get lost after a while because you get burnt out by listening to it. So it's all right. You can make longer records. Like I really enjoy long records. Some of my favorite records are, you know, 1 hour 15 minutes long, but they're engaging the entire time. They have a lot of variables to them. They're constantly changing, but they still stay cohesive. You don't need to try to blend it out. You don't need to keep it at one level and stay safe for an entire record and then make it more bland. That's not what you want to do. So, overall, it's all right, but not going to change my world. So, but I do like reggaeton. I do like Afrobeats a lot. So, within there, you're going to get your cloud breezers. You're going to get plenty of things that if you like the genre, you're going to like it. But for like a whole record, it's all right. Cut half of it and it'll be fine.
Yeah. arbitrary scale this week, kind of as we alluded to, it's going to be ripped pants from that one Fox News host. What is the man's name? I totally forget. Todd Puro.
Yes.
Yeah, Todd Puro.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't Fox News, so.
I just read the article, so that's just the best I got. Anyways, that is going to be... I'm going to give this 7 ripped pants.
I'm going to give this 3... sets of trousers and 1 pair of jeans.
Ripped jeans. It's kind of hard to rip. Okay.
Exactly. So, like...
All right.
Not bad.
That's a spread. Also, it's worth mentioning a little bit of the Burna Boy bodyguard drama. Too bad I couldn't overdo that. But apparently there's this, like, thing bubbling up where there's an altercation between one of Burna Boy's bodyguards, or at least his bodyguard crew, and this woman's husband and someone who was in his group, maybe like a friend or a family member. Anyways, apparently Burna Boy was talking up to this woman. This woman is married. It's unclear exactly what happened from there, but it seems that Burna Boy's bodyguard shot this guy in the leg. And there's some like absolutely wild photos from this. But you know, it's audio face, so it's kind of funny. So we're going to do it. Not kind of funny, but like, you know, it's here and it exists. So one of his friends was grazed right here.
Damn. Holy
in the shit. Head. So he got lucky right there. Then this is a photo of the pants.
Hey man.
Naturally super bloodstained. And then at least one of these things, I'll pull it up really fast, but there is a photo of the iPhone involved that basically blocked the it basically saved his life. But Burna Boy is saying that, listen, none of this stuff He's saying that Nigerian social media can say Burna Boy started Boko Haram. It's not going to shock me. Which is an angle?
Holy shit. All right, mate. You're taking the piss.
Whoa. Okay, so if there are any updates on that, we'll tell you about it. Thankfully, no one actually died from this case. But it looks like an extreme overreaction. Pretty American for the Nigerian Burna Boy man, right? So, anyways, we move on to our second album of the day. It is Wasteland by Brent Faiyaz. It is also a very long album here, which we'll be getting into in moments. 19 songs, an hour and 4 minutes. You thought I was going to not have it up, didn't you?
After a second, I was like, oh, yeah. Don't you do it?
Nope. Brent Faiyaz has kind of taken the trap and B world by storm as of late. Mm-hmm. And this is his third album. Wasteland comes at a time when pop, the sound of pop is changing. It's evolving very much. And I think the production here delivers. I also think that Wasteland is an album that is very, very bloated. But where there are good features to be had, and it's a very feature light record, they're some of the best features I've heard from some of these artists in a while. I'll put Drake included. I have not liked a Drake song that has come out recently since Wasting Time. And that's more or less because of the Neptunes feature, I'd say. But I think it's a time where Drake is met at his frequency and it's like a lot more tolerable than a lot of different things. And yeah.
We have different opinions on that, which is interesting.
I'm very, very curious. What do you think about the album? And then we can go whenever you want to into the Drake one.
Yeah, so, well, the record I enjoyed. I agree with the record of, I feel like it is bloated at times, but there's a lot in here I really enjoy. Thought the first two songs, Villains, Seems, Loose Change, started off the album pretty well. I really like Gravity with, that has like several features, I believe. Yeah, DJ Dai and Tyler, the Creator. I thought that was good.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to tell you the truth shit now. When I'm gone and I roam around the globe for 3 months, that's too long. Without something that's sweet, so I phone. Little treats, that's a snack, not a feast. They don't mean much to me because I know that I have a bakery back at home. Am I wrong for...
Don't act like I'm average. You want me home.
Some of like the little skits and interlude themes I don't like. So like example, right after Gravity, you have Your Heart interlude, and then you have an Egomaniac skit. Those two you don't really need to put there because I really like All Mine a lot. I like how it just, you have this really cool sample and things that are played through, and I like how you're adding a little extra things to Trap and B with it. Enjoyed that song a ton, but you didn't need those two little filler interlude tracks before it. It just felt like it threw it off a little bit for me. You have Piece of Fame after that, and then you get to really, really good feature of Ghetto Gatsby with Alicia Keys. Thought that song was fantastic.
I don't play about mine. I'm sorry, I've been out of touch. You said I'd be out of town too much. Fly it in the wind, I'm Gatsby. I'm probably faded when you see me on the TV. I can't help that. I'm just playing cards, I was dealt bad. But I got models in the Sprinter. I can't buy you happiness if you ain't got it.
Really, really liked it. Alicia Keys sounds great. I really like the whole track as it is. It's slower down, it slows it down a little bit, but just the vocals, the production, everything, it's great because it does a lot with a little. And I really appreciate that when you can actually do that and pull it off, especially in a record where, example, you have All Mine a couple songs before, which has a lot of production, a lot of different sounds, but they still go together very well. I like that. Then you get to Wasting Time with Drake and the Neptunes.
Wait, and really fast. I just want to say, like,
oh yeah,
the fact that you get like a little bit of strings here, you get the right, like, an interesting time where Brent Faiyaz is doing a lot of the lyrical work and like the singing, and then Alicia Keys kind of does a spoken word rap thing at the end and kind of bringing on her vocals throughout the chorus. It just creates this minimal elegance that I really, really enjoy from music. So it's really a high point of the record, which then leads into Wasting Time, which we have a little bit of a disagreement on.
Yeah, which Wasting Time, I enjoy the track up until Drake. I thought it was actually really good. Like, I like the placement of it a lot, where you speed up the album a little bit, because putting it after Ghetto Gatsby is perfect, because you get that nice little trap beat in there and you get to pick it up. You start to flow again. I really like the way it sounds. But then, like, you know, towards the end, you get Drake's feature, and to me, it just throws off the track entirely.
Beautiful girl, you're stainless. You'll be fine, I'll be painless, yeah. All I'm drinking is champagne. All you want is the same thing.
Yeah. The 10,000 building, get your ass an apartment, put you inside a G-class, that's just a starter kit. Plenty things count in life, but none of them is the thought of it. New piece around my
I felt like he came in just really flat, and his voice just didn't suit this track to me at all. I like the Neptune's part, it's fine, but just Drake sounded really out of place to me, where he just pops it on there. I'm like, all right, it just doesn't fit, and it really didn't fit the record to me either. So
I can definitely see that. I think the way I was kind of coming at the song is that for Drake, this is one of Drake's better performances this year. Like, this is the first time I've heard Drake on a beat for a song in 2022 and not wanted to, like, grate my ears in. We really dislike Honestly Nevermind, so to speak. When we are talking about the context of the album, I think you do have some pretty decent points there. Drake feels a little bit out of balance rap-wise for what's coming in here. He's definitely one of the oddly, like, faster-paced rappers in here. And so it's definitely a moment for sure. I think it works with the beat, though. It's kind of like a more upbeat kind of thing. But I could definitely have done with the song, or like a version of the song, with just the Neptunes and Brent Faiyaz. Because I think, as a Drake standalone song, it works really, or like decently well. As a Brent Faiyaz song, it works really well. Together, I think that both of them do really well on the beat, but I'm not sure if it works great on this album. Or you could do maybe one of the, again, maybe I'm just talking about Drake too much. You could pull a Drake and put this at the end of the album going like, hey, we thought we wanted to put this with this release, but it doesn't really fit anywhere else, so let's just throw this here. Or you do like a part one, part two, where like, here's the Drake feature at the very end, but then we'll just keep the regular one in the album. I can take any of those sides there.
Okay.
Audio Face, fair, balanced, and unafraid.
Unafraid. Yeah. And then the rest of the album I thought was good. It just got really long after that. After Wasting Time, you got to Rolling Stone. And then after that, it just felt like it would drag on a bit, to where I'm like, you don't need half of these little skit things and other interludes that you had at the beginning, just because it started to really bloat this record out. Otherwise, I enjoyed it a lot, but there's just a lot in here. You can make either a part two or a B-sides things that have different tracks that you don't necessarily need to do that. And you could put that Wasting Time, just a normal, leave it as is, but put it into a part two, or put it into like a B-side record as well. And I think it would fit more along the lines of that. But
yeah, I agree, because like I think there's some good songs within here. I think Addictions is really nice, but and there's a really good subject matter, because the kind of backstory, not backstory to this album, but the thing behind the skits is presumably Brent Faiyaz's, but like a man's difficult relationship or distant relationship with his baby mama, who is very pregnant and carrying his baby. And he's constantly on tour. He's very distant. He's very clearly seeing other women. And it's getting to the point where, not to spoil the whole album, but like I mean, this is the review, so I guess we kind of can. So spoiler alerts ahead if you don't want to listen to the album or whatever. But essentially, it gets to this point where the woman is feeling, wow, this is a comment on the album, we're doing a lot, like video gaming herself or going home and rethinking her life. But they're at a certain place and going home and rethinking the baby's life as well. And so there's a place apparently where they relate their relationship to, that Brent Faiyaz's character races in his car towards on PCH. Before he gets there, he crashes his car, and that's sort of where Angel kind of picks up into. So it ends in a really dark place. I think it's, you know, intense subject matter, but it feels like at the end, it's almost like the skit or the story is the most compelling part of the end of that record. Like Sean was saying earlier, there could be some rearrangement or some rethinking so that these kind of moments happen in a different way, or like happen earlier in the album, or in a part one, part two kind of way. I don't know. On Audioface, we've talked about a number of different ways to release albums, a lot of different ways you shouldn't release albums, mm-hmm. with a lot of content and a lot of subject matter to do. I think we've landed on the part one, part two being the better way to do that. This is one of those times where I think a Wasteland part two, which this kind of album begs for anyways, might have been a better approach to go with that. But that then Wasteland Part 2 is going to end up being Wasteland Part 3 in reality, because this album is two albums in one without a really good middle point.
Yep, I agree. So
that being said, I think it's a quality record. There are songs in here that are really good.
It's a good record. It's just there's a lot of things that there's just a lot of editing that could be done to make it a little bit more concise. Storytelling is great. There's a lot of great tracks in here. Most of the features were fantastic. So I think overall it's a good record. Just a bit drawn out.
Yeah. Arbitrary scale, blah, blah, rating scales. They're dumb. We chose arbitrary scales for fun. What we said was what we said. This week is going to be Fox News correspondents ripping their pants. Just this one male one by the name of Piro. Ron Piro? Tom Piro? Todd mm-hmm. Piro. There we go. I know I get it one of these days. This is going to be... I'll give this 3 ripped pants. 1 ripped jean, because we disagreed a lot on that Drake Neptunes one. And then these are just going to be some ripped shorts where, you know, you're just dancing too much and, you know, you rip them too much from being a fuckboy.
Fair play. This is a pair of ripped jeans and a bummy shirt.
Solid. Very fair play.
Glad you got that.
Yeah, real Doomheads will get that. And by the way, real Doomhead should become a Syndicate 23 member, because then you'll get access to the Doom bonus episode, one of the fan favorite episodes of Audioface, where we dove into the Doom history. Learned a lot of stuff in there, so definitely check that out. Join syndicate23.co.
I mean, Audioface is where the Doom Truthers movement began, so you know.
And we move on to our final record of the day, Cave World by Viagra Boys. 12 songs, 40 minutes long. And Viagra Boys are really hitting their stride in this like post-punk indie space that they've gotten themselves mm-hmm. into, so to speak. They've had like, I want to say like 3 records, more or less. There's Street Worms, which they released in 2018. 18. There's Welfare Jazz, which we really liked last year, and then
they
really loved it. And I've seen them live now. I don't think they were at Primavera, but I definitely saw them live at Coachella, and they have a great live presence. Their songs translate very well live, exactly into kind of what you want to sound, kind of like this Beck era trashy, thrashy rock that is kind of intelligent but kind of just like weird and fun. It's very, very good. And that energy, that commentary carries on in a pretty solid way, I think, into their newest album, Cave World. Sean, your thoughts?
This actually was a fantastic record. Viagra Boys, we've reviewed a couple of their records here and there on Audioface, and some of them I've liked, some of them I had some issues with. But to me, this is my favorite record of theirs, favorite of like top to bottom project. It starts off Baby Criminal, hilarious title. And it really sets up like a really, really nice punk indie infusion of a sound that you're going to get on this record. Jimmy started smoking lots of things. He started taking sleeping pills during the day. And then at night he'd sneak out, all dressed up in leather. His mama cried, oh no, my child's in some sort of game. You have little 30-40 second interludes that you get. Kind of, I think you get 3 or 4 of them on the record, but I think actually they're okay in the setting. Not necessarily my favorites, but It's all right. Especially for the thing that I like is it kind of breaks up some of the really harder sounds, some of the softer sounds. So that's the part I do like. But anyways, you get towards third track, Troglodyte, which I hate. No, I can never say that right, but you know.
You said it perfectly. This is the year, Sean, where your confidence in your ability to speak English is finally lower than your ability to speak English. Because you've been getting a lot of these rougher pronunciations pretty on point.
Well, fair play. Thank you. Chocolate, I thought was very good.
Now you fucked it up. Good,
so I literally did that on purpose. I was trying to see if you catch it. And like towards the middle of that record, it slows down a little bit. And then you get Ain't No Thief. So again, I like that little interlude of Globe Earth to kind of connect those two parts. And then Ain't No Thief, just like, it's almost like a Rage Against the Machine kind of sound with the guitar and just industrial rock just gets into your face. The way it's spaced out in the record, I thought was very good. I really like the production on it. It doesn't feel cheesy, doesn't feel outdated at all. It's still fresh. It still has a newer take on your like post-punk scene, infusing it with a lot of indie influences and just different things throughout it. And the thing I like the most about the record, though, I love the vocals. I really like them. That might be an issue I've had before with Viagra Boys, where sometimes I thought the vocals would either fall flat or be just not necessarily my favorite thing, or they throw off the album. I thought, here, they're great the whole time. So towards the end, like it ends well with Add Human Error, Return to Monk. Or yeah, there you go.
And Return to Monkey. Come on, Sean. Which, get the meme on.
No. Fuck that.
Old man, but Sean.
I like that ending track a lot. So overall, I thought it was a very, very good project from Viagra Boys, especially because how many records of theirs have we done now on here?
We've done just the two, and this is a perfect segue.
I thought we've done more. Interesting. Nope.
This is just the two. And this is a perfect segue to my favorite song on Viagra Boys was Creatures. I was getting so much play off of that last year. And a really good B-side successor to that is the Cognitive Trade-off Hypothesis. Which I really love when bands kind of revisit songs or ideas they've done before and really upgrade them for a new sound. So that was really one of my favorites. But yeah, I think you're right. I was originally going to say here that, like, and I think I still have this critique that I don't think Viagra Boys are jumping far out from what they're good at in this album.
No,
I think they're
absolutely
really, they're definitely really owning in on what they're good at. And that's a good thing because that creates, I do agree with you once again, when you come out from this, there are parts of Welfare Jazz where I felt like these are good songs, but as an album, it doesn't play through as well. This album plays through really nicely. It's short, it's sweet. At just 40 minutes long, it really does the job here better than the other two records we reviewed this week, Burna Boy and Brent Faiyaz, Love Demony and Wasteland, respectively, both of which are projects of multitudes level more sincerity than like Viagra Boys is meant to have. Like Viagra Boys is meant to have some fun to it, but there's also some sincerity. I love the motif of conspiracy theories and mental health and kind of like being over with the state of society as it is, because you get those ideas in Creepy Crawlers, Cognitive Trade-off Hypothesis, Globe Earth, ADD, Return to Monkey. always are really funny. If anything, Return to Monkey's kind of long, but you have a lot of different movements in there, and it's the last song, so yeah. I'll give it that. But you know what? I think this is a really solid record from Viagra Boys. Really good job. I really recommend it. I hope the boys keep it up, but for the next album, feel free to branch out and experiment a little
bit. Yeah. You can, I would like for them to do, you know, have a record where it's a mix of new, a mix of old, where you can still, you know, have tried true Viagra Boys sound, because now they have a sound. They really own this space of your indie punk, post rock scene, post punk, I should say, not post rock. And with that, all right, experiment a little bit. You don't necessarily need to go like completely out of left field, but try some new stuff here and there. You got the sound. Try to even revolutionize your sound. See what you can do else within punk. Get even different punk influences and see what you can do, because there's so much out there. And try to invent, try to make new art. I think they can do it. And yeah, like this record.
Totally. Arbitrary scale. What we said in our review is what we said in our review. So we're going to give you a random scale and make you figure out what we think about it if you didn't understand it beforehand. Because that's what we do in Audio Phase. That's another really good way of saying it. Anyways.
That's a great way. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch me forget it in 2 minutes. But at least I edit this, so I'll remember it anyways. Anyways, I'm going to give this 2 ripped pants. One of those being the SpongeBob ripped pants.
And I ripped my pants. This is...
the original Viagra Boys.
This is... 3 pairs of good chinos that you ripped.
Aww.
And one like you ripped the knee and it like went down like your shin and stuff, like you were skating or something, you got caught in a rail and just like ripped it and you're like, I just got these.
That's disappointing.
Like two pairs from Nordstrom and one lucky pair from TJ Maxx.
TK Maxx for those folks across the pond, yeah, in it. Anyways, this has been Audio Face. For those in the members portion, you get to look at the R. Kelly deleting himself watch, White Lil Baby, and there are a lot of legal cases I wish I would have the opportunity to see that I've been privy to over the past couple years on Audio Face. This is number one. By far, this is my favorite, and we're going to talk about it on the members portion, which you can join and participate in by becoming a Syndicate 23 member. Join.syndicate23.co. Get all of these different musical things and bonus content, especially from Power Report, as we ramp up for the midterm elections in America, as well as all the elections happening around the world. And yeah, Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. I can be found on Twitter and Twitch at Dan from the Web, and on Instagram and TikTok at Dan from the Internet. The show can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod. Check out youtube.com/AudioFacePod to make sure you are following us and all the stuff we're doing. We appreciate you very much. Rate us and all the things so you can show that appreciation back. That didn't sound like a threat. I didn't mean for it to be threatening, but we appreciate you. We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Bye-bye.